I'd like to call the August 2, 2022 work session to order. Please join me in a moment of silence. This moment of silence is for those who lost their lives in the Washington Crossing flood and for their families and loved ones. We miss them dearly. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Please also know that Mark Toronto, longtime member of council, president, and person who is deeply active in many ways in the community, has passed. We will be reading a page into the minutes for her at the council meeting. Do we have any amendments to the agenda? Public to be heard?
I'm Julia Wilmer, Washington Avenue. I have a comment about the manager ordinance. Mm-hmm. Do you want that now or when it comes up on the agenda?
That might just be for general discussion. Why don't you give it now?
I think that's okay.
We're not voting today.
So I read the ordinance amendment, and then I went on the Pennsylvania Borough Code site to read about managers. And section 1142B2. Yes. Oh, no, I'm sorry. Yeah, 1142.3.2 states the employment agreement, this is for a manager, may remain in effect for a specified period, terminating no later than 2 years after the effective date of the agreement or the date of the organizational meeting of council following the next municipal election, whichever occurs first. And then I noted in the amendment, in the ordinance amendment that is advertised, under 10/5, appointed by council, states the council at its discretion may have the authority to enter into a contract with the borough manager, which may fix the term of such manager, but no such term shall exceed 3 years in length, and goes on after that. My question is, why is there a conflict between the two?
I think that's a good question. Thank you for pointing that out. I think it's a question for our solicitor. It was not Mike who drafted that, so Mike, if you could speak on it, it's great, but either way, I think we need to take it back and take a look at that. And
I think what you get sometimes with these ordinances is that the borough code or the first class township code fits a period of time when the contract has to be renewed. I think when the ordinance is drafted, it is meant to allow borough council to have a little bit more flexibility, and it doesn't necessarily create a conflict. One of the reasons you try to do this is if you are hiring somebody in between that 2 year period of time, they may not be willing to leave their old job to only be guaranteed of employment or the benefit of their agreement for an 11th or 12 month period of time. So council can enter into a 3 year agreement with them. And then if they choose not to renew at the time stated in the borough code, that person doesn't continue in the position, but it allows them to get the benefit of their bargain. So essentially what it's trying to do, and I deal with this also in some of my first class townships, is it's trying to understand the marketplace and the ability to go out and attract people when you may only be able to say to them, I can only offer you 11 months of guaranteed employment, and a lot of people are going to take that. So there's not a conflict in the two sections.
Okay. Thank you. Do you have any other public to be heard?
Yeah. My name is Tony Dwarf, 521 East Center Avenue. And I'm speaking for my wife, Jennifer, and myself. And just yesterday, we heard a very disturbing rumor that the owner of the house across the street from ours at 516 East Center Avenue is seeking permission to demolish that house. We're talking about a Victorian house built in the 1880s, one of the oldest homes on our block. Our block has a nice mix of about 30 or 35 homes, a few old Victorians, many other, half a dozen bungalows built in the 1920s, like our own house, and some more modern homes. And we love the character of our block. We love the character of Center Avenue and the whole borough. And we think it would be a terrible shame to demolish such a beautiful, architecturally intact, well-kept home for the sake of perhaps a more modern home or more modern homes. That house has a great history. We've lived across the street now for 46 years. We looked across at this Victorian house. When we first moved in, you may recall the Walker family, Ken and Janet Walker, their two little kids, Melissa and Kenny. And then a few years after that, the first African-American family to move into our part of town, Dolores Davis, Jim Davis, and Uncle Lewis moved into that house. And now 46 years later, many years later, a young couple, Heather and Matt Chandler, and their 12-year-old daughter, Eliza, live there. And that house has history. It's a beautiful house. And we urge the council to reject any proposal to demolish that house. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, sir. Any other comments to be heard?
I don't know if this is the time I speak or not, because this is the first time here. I'm here to ask about the bridge that you're putting in on the Midtown. Back on that.
This is the time for public to speak. Okay. Yeah, everybody who would like to speak has 5 minutes.
It's the one off of Edgeburn Drive. I live right, it's in my backyard.
Is it not for you?
Right? And by.
You do not have to stand.
Okay, my name is Ann By, and I live at 400 Edgeburn Drive, which is where the bridge would be going right behind my house. So my question is, this is the old trolley track that they're talking about putting it on. And I know that they're asking for a grant, and I know that Julia has contacted me before, back in before COVID, and I thought this had gone to put out that we're not doing it anymore. Then I've seen different articles that you're trying to get a grant, and they're working on to put it back in. Is that true?
Yeah, the original one was to put a vegetative swale there for the water runoff that comes down Frost. That was why we approached you originally. But what is being looked at right now, and the engineers are working on, is a bridge, a footbridge.
Okay.
To go over to the township.
Well, what I was approached with was not not the swell, because they came in and they redid the whole ditch, which has worked out fine. But mine was to put a path all the way down from the beginning of Frost Lane.
What we approached you out was an easement so that we can access your property for the vegetative swale. And that's what you had said no to initially.
Okay, so what's the vegetative swale? How are you going to get to this bridge?
I'm Michelle.
That's one question.
There's an easement on the other side.
She's muted.
Okay.
Yes. No, I'm here.
The public comment is Mrs.
I could.
Yeah.
I could. Yeah. So the trail would go on the property that is on the other side of the vegetated swale. I forget the gentleman's name that gave us that easement.
That his name is Mr. Miller.
Mm-hmm. Okay, Mr. Miller.
That whole property. That property is divided between the two of us. You have to have one.
That's correct.
As well as his.
The path would go on one side.
It's correct. It is not going to go.
I'm sorry.
Is not going to go on Ms. By's property at all. It's all going to go on Mr. Miller's side.
Well, I don't think that's right. I think that we both owe, you have to have permission from both of us, because it's not one side is his and one side is mine. It's both of us. The whole thing we both own jointly.
Well, Mr. Clark could answer this better, but when it was a paper street, Mike, I don't remember. I don't know if you remember. It was a paper street, and it was vacated, and half of that, it went right down the middle of the vegetated swale, pretty much. Half of that was Mr. Miller's property. Half of that was Ms. Fye's. We got the easement from Mr. Miller.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was told by the engineer that came to my house and Julia that you can't do anything without my permission.
For the vegetated swale, that is
right.
Correct.
Right.
So right now you're registering your opposition to having the path to a ridge.
Yes.
Thank you.
I don't take the bridge. I can't control the bridge. The bridge is already back there. And I don't know what your plans are for the bridge. I don't know what this bridge is going to be. Tail. I mean, we had a bridge at the other end of Edgeboro Drive, which became a disaster with kids hanging out there at nighttime. It was a mess. Are you putting lights on this bridge at nighttime?
I think.
I mean,
that the design element is further off.
Yeah.
Because some people may not want lights because then people might be enticed to walk back there at night. And
but I first of all, I don't really even know the need for a bridge up there. We don't even have sidewalks up there. Somebody even walking. Does anybody ever sit up there and see how many people are coming in that area?
I think some residents in that area would like to be able to get across to the township without having to walk around to Jefferson. So I think that's the idea.
So we have, what, 2 or 3 residents, and I'm supposed to give up my property and just say, walk down my property?
Yeah, they will not be on your property at all. They'll be on the other side of the ditch.
Seriously?
Yes.
And is somebody going to come up and maintain that property? Yeah, I've been maintaining both sides of that property. Mr. Miller's not always there. He doesn't live there. I take care of that property, not Mr. Miller. It was between me and Mr. Stroop that used to take care of that property, but he's gone. And Mr. Miller doesn't even live there.
Thank you.
Okay.
Do we have any other public speakers? Right, Michelle.
Okay, thank you. The only thing I have that is an agenda item is this year's road program. 7 bids were received for this year's road program, with the lowest bid being from Associated Paving Contractors in the amount of $221,209.40. My bid tabulation letter to you told you that our estimate was at $213,335. So we are recommending the award of this year's road program to Associated Paving Contractors if the budget allows.
Thank you, Michelle.
If there's no other questions for me, that is my report.
All right, we have a question.
Yeah. Will this go on next week's voting list?
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Does anyone else have any other questions for Michelle? All right, thanks very much, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, next, Mr.
Can she be excused?
Yes, she will. She may stay as long as she wishes, and she may be excused when she wishes. She usually leaves after an hour because she's at her next meeting. So that's up to Michelle. Yes, she's on vacation right now. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Michelle.
Sure, I'll be here until Mike Clark's report at least.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks.
It's a highlight for everyone.
Yeah. We're putting the Newtown Experience Group first because we have several members of the community, business community here. So we wanted to let them go. And then we'll go on to the to Mike. Okay. All right. Tom?
Thank you. So I guess it was about 3 weeks ago we met. So the Newtown Experience came together maybe about 2 years ago, and we have ebbed and flowed. It changed what we thought our directions would be. People came in, people came out, but there's been consistency in a group here that showed up this evening. And we met about a month ago, three weeks ago, to talk about what we could do to really, I guess, put some structure behind it. And so Ishara and Barry, Nicole, myself, Beth, and then we brought Andy in because Andy has been doing a great job on this end of State Street promoting and having events here. Ishara's been doing it down the other end. So we wanted to maybe have a conversation with council about some of the thoughts that we talked about, some of the things that we've seen done, some of the things they've been a part of in other roles or even here, and really start maybe getting a little more traction for this. And really the whole idea kind of is to get council committed to helping. So I don't know.
Basically, as everybody in this room knows, through the years, it's been hard gathering together the businesses and events. The Mercantile did expunge itself right before the pandemic. So really haven't had any coordination on State Street at all. The Newtown Experience started because we needed the tree lighting to not fail. So that's when Barry last year stepped in because his historic association filled out the events form, and then we were able to use that insurance. So what we're thinking though is if this is going to be a success, we do need to stand on our own legs and not be part of the historic association per se. Right now, that's how we have a bank account where people, you know, can make donations, but ideally we would get our own bank account and kind of start our own nonprofit. So the mission statement of the Newtown Experience is an organization which celebrates our rich history, builds community, and furthers our collective culture. The structure is the Newtown Experience supports the existing events such as Market Day, Library 5K, tree lighting, music on the street, etc. Through marketing and PR, we would help inform the existing community and entice our outside community. We'll support the tourism and create a vibrant small business and hospitality barrel. The existing events have their own committees, and that would continue uninterrupted. The Newtown Experience Board would bring new events and experiences to the borough through proposed yearly funding that would also support beautification projects. We're going to shorten now to any. We'll have a community calendar. It will have a volunteer base and possible membership to support the organization's goals of supporting a historic borough. It's small businesses and the community. We would work closely with Borough Council to support their efforts all in disseminating information, and we'll create a clear dialogue within the community. So as you know, all of our towns around us, Yardley, Doylestown, you know, they all have a group that does this for their borough. And our concern is mostly that stores that are being sold, the space is getting filled with a lot of businesses that aren't even open past 5 o'clock. And not to say that that's a horrible thing, it just means that there's not going to be as much action on the street. So anytime that we could bring events in to State Street and help our businesses, instead of asking our businesses, how can you help us? And that's kind of been the way it's been with the Mercantile. It's like, okay, these businesses, they have little kids coming in. I have a teacher's package I have to put together. Can I have $25? Like, the businesses are always getting asked to support the community. And we just think it's time for the community to support businesses. So obviously we have a lot of steps to do in order to become a nonprofit. So we don't really want to, unless the council is behind us in some matter, we don't want to go through that whole process and spend all the money if it's not something that you think is a good idea.
How would you guys liaise with our own rec board and their events?
Yeah, same. Like, so in that case, that would be their own, obviously their own board, but they would literally give us whatever they want, and then we would just be a sharing way to like get it out. So
the platform.
Yeah, so like their music, let's say they did a music in the park the one day, and then Andy had one 3 weeks before that, like that they would all be listed in some sort of organized fashion. I do know that Judy works hard to update our events calendar for sure. It's just more of a direct to you information. Doylestown, what's the one? Doylestown's, you know.
Yeah, there's a Discover Doylestown.
Discover Doylestown.
Profit, that's a good example of kind of what we're thinking about. And the other benefit is, you know, Andy and I do events a lot on State Street, and then there's other events, the township's doing events. So this would be an opportunity for everybody to sort of look at the year and say, okay, what are we looking at for the year as far as what we can bring to the community, so we're not overshadowing each other or scheduling things on the same day. Sure. So we would want to work with the township as well in that way to sort of support them and have them support what we're doing. Sure. So it'll be a nice connection there. That was one of the things we discussed.
Yeah, I mean, I think what we discussed as well, it's not a bad thing, but a lot of the businesses will do specific things surrounding their business to promote it, if that makes sense. I think what we're trying to achieve here is to allow all of that to continue to happen, but at the same time have a big umbrella over it, so that if we do have music on the street, how can the businesses benefit? Maybe there'll be more incentive to stay open a little later. Maybe it'll be more incentive, instead of it becoming a law office, it becomes a retail store, right? Like, we don't want to see the transition where at night it's just dark because it's 9 to 5 businesses only. And I've seen that in other towns.
Oh yeah.
That website that from Doylestown was excellent. If you have a chance to look at it, it's
very good. Yeah.
And it shows how, you know, there's pre-existing things that hadn't been done prior to them even forming, but they're supporting it in a nice way without, it's not like they're taking over that. They exist on their own, but there's just a good support structure. And the other thing, you know, Andy and I have collaborated on a couple events, and some of the things that we talk about and think about is when we start on my side on South State with an earlier event, we help try to foster people stopping and having a drink or having dinner as they make their way to Andy. So these are things that we need to think about as a collective, which is how do we keep, you know, restaurants in the borough? How do we keep nightlife in the borough? Because we know there's a lot of building in the township and we are losing people to that side. So, and it's been very successful doing that. And also part of our marketing for those events, it's in the verbiage, we recommend that, you know, stop and have dinner in between.
Yeah.
So we're promoting that thought.
Yeah, I think the thought, I've always noticed it seemed like, whether it was the Mercantile Group or whoever, it always felt like the businesses were being asked, can you donate this? Can you sponsor this? Can you stay open late? We'd like to kind of flip that narrative and say, we're here to create an atmosphere that people want to live here, work here, play here. I'm not asking you for anything. And then hopefully they'll say, I like what's happening here. So
well, that was, you mentioned the idea of the joining together and then going somewhere else. The joint event you had in the spring, you had a gap, and the specific was go get something to eat.
Right. And it's built in.
Yeah.
Right.
It's a great idea. Great energy. You, as an organization like that, you can advocate and publicize and make people aware in a way that you can never do on the borough website. It would never be with the same sort of panache and
expertise
spirit. Okay. So
yeah,
it sounds fantastic. When you say you're looking for support of council, did I just give you support or?
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Yeah. I do think that we spoke about this with, you know, I know Newtown Corporation, I guess years ago, was under a grant to redo the State Street, but there would need to be some kind of financial support to help them on an annual basis to get this thing rolling, and then through donations and other things. I mean, right now, most of the sweat equity and financial input is from individuals trying to do it.
Yes.
I think our support will also come in the form of things like getting better lighting on the street.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Here by the Peter, like that kind of support. So they're planning these events. We need to make sure they're safe. You know, people can see at night, that kind of thing. I think our support also comes.
Yeah.
And it wasn't the 501c3. We make donations to some of the nonprofits in
right.
the area annually. So
right.
once you're incorporated as a 501c3, that could be another.
That's
right.
sort of
funding.
Yeah,
yeah,
if we can get any sort of promise from the council that, you know, you're engaging in this idea that we have, and then, you know, based on forming this, once it's formed, that we have some kind of promise of annual support so that we can go ahead with.
And I guess the hope also is that you can apply for a grant also when you are your own, you know, nonprofit too. Yeah. So if there is money out in the universe, we just would need to be an official group to apply for it.
Yeah. And to also get private donors, like we can't be under someone else's umbrella.
Yes.
So that was another reason why to come out from the New Tenants Service Association, have its own organization that supports and becomes the umbrella for the New Tenants Service Association and other.
But presumably, your ask, your sort of thought ask here is give some level of support. We're not going to fund this organization. Presumably, I have multiple sources of funds, and you'll ask us to place on part.
Yeah, right.
Just one thing. I was walking around in a little town not too long ago, and this is really not that big a deal, but someday on our list, there was music playing, like just not in every store. It was just like I was on the street.
Yeah, speakers.
Yeah, it wasn't, you know, crazy music. Some of it was like it felt like bebopping a little bit down the street. But I just thought it was something. It wasn't real loud. It wasn't intrusive. I think that might be something that would be nice to put on the to-do list. I think it'd be at the bottom.
if someone refers, I would encourage everyone just go to the Discover Doylestown and look at that's exactly, you know, people often ask me, how do I come up with all the ideas for the theater? Secret is I borrow. So we look at Discover Doylestown and say, why would we recreate? We want to do exactly that and be the role that they play. They're not asking the business, they're creating an atmosphere that's
an
encouraging.
Bucks County Visitor Bureau provide assistance in how to do all these things.
So for Visit Bucks, you're saying?
So Visit Bucks building is like parks.
So
Visit Bucks could supply a grant. We would just need to make sure it's always tourism based. So it has to be something that would last a whole weekend. So if there was an event that we were going to do Saturday and Sunday, for example, then we could apply for a grant from them. For something that we're doing.
Something.
I mean, that is definitely possible. Yeah. But they would absolutely, even prior to the grant, support what we would be doing. I mean, I work with Paul in my own world at our work, and they're really a great support.
That organization did exceptional work, which both celebrates all of the LGBTs and historical civics that we've had over the past. Mm-hmm. Great, which paper coverage and great attendance.
I agree to work with. In terms of like an amount, we have a budget season and then we vote on it in November. We vote to advertise it and then we vote on it. So we pretty much are done with it by end of October, beginning of November. And so we can't promise you anything now. I can tell you just some of, and this is all public information on some of the nonprofits. We give about $3,000 a year annually. The existing, like long-term, like the library, historic association. So do you come in, there are seats. So that's the existing situation. We just can't say like tonight we're gonna promise you, but I'm hearing a lot of enthusiasm.
And it will be discussed when we have our budget. We knew that, and I think we were hoping somewhere between like 3 and 5.
That
would be
lovely.
And then
one of the things you want to ask us is instead of giving you the money, still make better lights. It could come through a different kind of budget process.
Right.
So what are the municipal services that would improve the whole situation? So rather than citizens' minds for a party, a particular kind of people, if we make the whole street safe for the project, which would maybe more or less kind of money, then it's an improvement for everybody every day, so we could have even more activities. So if there's different kinds of public services, like marking of the parking, stop signs, one-way sign, you know, things that we can do as a municipality as compared to what you're doing to create events.
Right. And I think that the thing missing here, though, Bob, with all due respect, is that in Doylestown Borough, the borough pays for all the flowers and they have a guy come around and they water them. So it's been a struggle for me to say, you know, in the position I was in your guys' seats, and then now afterwards to say, well, how, like, if the whole community isn't in for the whole kind of unification, then I just don't see it working. Like, I think it can't just be better lighting and better sidewalks should kind of just be happening. That shouldn't be like a gift to the businesses on State Street.
Well, in the last couple of years, we've made a more definite to clean the streets, clean the street wells, pick up the trash, pick up the dog poop, put out more things. So we have been conscious of improving the streetscape. So we're already up and running, but to the extent we need, I know we need more lights over there.
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about, well, you need support to be able to do some of these things and these great ideas, you know, some of that does cost money.
Right,
so,
and I'm willing
to and that's a bigger project. We would need, if that ended up being something that we would want to do or help assist as part of this umbrella organization, obviously we would be working closely with the council for something like that, right? So that would be a collaborative effort. As opposed to just like the Newtown experience being controlled sidewalks and lighting and things like that. So
sure.
I mean there's obviously like a way to move forward with all of those things that everybody wants. I'm on the block that doesn't have lights. So one block.
That's our issue, that's our problem, just like Nicole said. But there's a long list of things that need to get done. So based on maybe events that are coming up in your calendar year, we can talk about prioritizing some of those things based on the safety of our residents who have said events.
Sure.
But to me, they're two totally different things.
Yeah.
They're not.
Okay. Yeah. So, okay, well, thanks. So I think, am I hearing from council that everybody is generally up for the concept of discussing during budget season?
Yeah, and we'll start on getting actually approved of it.
I'm hearing that it's really expensive, but I don't know. I think that
the legal fees, because the lawyer, it's a pain in the, you know, what to do, my understanding.
The more costly thing is the final.
Yeah, that's what I think.
Okay, which are not lawyer fees. It's what the state requires you to apply on paper.
Correct.
Yeah, 110%.
Yeah, all right.
Thank you.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, do you have anything else?
Just two other quick things. A special event application you have for Pine to Pink for approval next Tuesday. This is the second year that they've done this event on State Street. And a special reminder of music on the street Tuesdays to August 29th. And it's the Newtown Theater sponsoring at 6 to 7:30 p.m. on Green Street between State and Newtown. That's all I have.
Are we closing the street?
Thank you.
Green Street is closed. That block on Green Street is closed.
For Pink.
Oh, no, for Pink,
okay,
yes.
For Pink.
Oh, yes.
Well, on State Street between
Washington and
Center. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's in the packet.
No, it's between center and
Penn.
Oh, okay.
No, it's the other
one.
Okay.
Yeah. That's
center. Yeah.
So we'll close the street
door.
All right, you can add that lock though.
Okay. No.
You can share
the boxes.
All right. Thanks very much. All right, Mike.
Thank you. Our report is attached, and if there are any questions, we're happy to answer them. Three informational items only. One is that the Steepleview Phase 2 conditional use hearing. Council will hold the hearing on the conditional use application on August 8th, next week. We have also gotten the alcoholic beverage ordinance advertised. And the public hearing on the alcoholic beverage ordinance will also be held next Tuesday, August 8th. It has been advertised and filed with the county, as indicated. The borough manager ordinance has also been advertised, and it is will be a public hearing on that ordinance as well on next Tuesday, August 8th. And finally, I said four items, I apologize, is the borough policy for the Section 125 cafeteria plan, the medical reimbursement and eye allowance plan. The policy has been drafted for council's consideration This was recommended by our auditor, and the policy memorializes the borough's healthcare direct reimbursement for medical and admission plans.
And that, I have a question about that last one, because that was it's a long policy, and another simple policy you saw was this long. But these are fairly boilerplate, and in order to follow Section 125. Do you have any comments about?
No, my only comment would be to agree with you. It is very boilerplate. It is what the auditors and the law requires. There wasn't a whole lot of unique drafting by us in this. It is just the sample policies that are used in other municipalities, just to make sure you cover all your bases.
Right, and in terms of the ordinances, does anybody have any discussion question items?
I just
comments
have
now.
One question on 10.9 specific authority and duties. Can we change the authority and duties of the manager shall include to may include?
10.
Just because as it would be a new position, I don't want to lock ourselves into these duties unless we're called by ordinance.
I think that's a good point. If we say may, meaning we can if we want to.
Right.
So, Mike, can we make that may?
Yes. It's not a substantial amendment that will require re-advertising. So there's no ability for us to change anything between now and next Tuesday, other than getting you a clean draft, but somebody will still have to make the request to make that change next week, because the ordinance that you're going to consider is the one that's right in front of you right now.
Okay.
Because that's what's been advertised.
So we can say that next week.
So if I make that change next week, then the vote would be on an amended?
As amended.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And that's this is the one that has, there was a couple, like a typo correction. This is the, I'll check on you on what's advertised.
Yeah, typos, I know that there were a couple of typo corrections. Those, we can always kind of clean those up as we're going along, but anything that's a little bit more substantive would have to be somebody making a motion to adopt it as amended.
Okay, thank you.
One of the questions that a resident brought up this last meeting around if we target a borough manager that's going to also have the finance background, is it okay for them to both be in charge of the overall operation and checkbook?
Yes.
Okay.
It's not unusual. The larger the organization, the more tasks are broken down and there are additional checks and balances. But as long as there is some additional oversight with who's reviewing the checkbook and who's seeing the bank statements and things along those lines, there's no conflict of interest in somebody doing the same job.
Thank you.
Yeah, I don't foresee the process of us like approving our own committees in, like, I don't see that changing.
Yeah,
no.
See
that
initial step still
being the same. We'll still have
the auditor. Right.
Yeah. Thank you. Are there any other questions or comments for discussion or consideration now? Ordinance on anything? Thank you, Mike.
Thanks.
And now the Section 25 is the next page, by the way. So it was already there.
Good.
Special event applications. Now, you were with us, and you already did that. So you're on to me. Okay. So the Newtown Township Zoning Hearing Board, they have a request for a variance at 281 North Lincoln Avenue before them. We, as in the borough, received the within 300 feet letter because the borough itself is within 300 feet. All borough residents within 300 feet would also individually receive a letter. But we also did as the entity that represents the borough itself as a legal entity. So for 281 North Lincoln Avenue, the minimum setback is 50 feet and the
applicant is seeking a front yard setback of 37.075 feet instead of the 50 feet. So the question for us is, do we want to let their zoning hearing board make that decision and just say whatever it is, you know, you're doing it? Do we want to write a letter? Do we want to oppose it for some reason?
On the basis of that one fact,
that's
not a particularly material difference between what they're asking for and what their ordinance allows. Mm-hmm. My thought on that particular point is that that's not a reason for us to object to that application. If there are other pieces of that puzzle, we should talk about this.
No, it's the only one.
That's the only relief they're seeking.
I feel the same way. Mm-hmm. Anybody else? I feel the same way. Dennis and Rob? Mary Ellen and Otis. Okay, there are two policies that are up for an annual review. They were written, our annual AAA, ever so many years review, based on what was put in at the time. So there's telecommunications for council meetings, rules of conduct at public meetings. So not everyone has had a chance to take a look at those. So I would like to put them on the September agenda. Consider if you think either of those two need any updates or any changes based on new information. For example, some things for telecommunications have changes since it was written. And if there's anything we would like to change on those, and then we'll side up initial data for the next time in a couple years, whoever's around here again. The third item is a discussion to adopt a grant policy. So many years ago, the council at the time had a lot of communication and it put together a multi-page draft policy, which is the beginnings of which is what is was in share files. We too, it has come up like, do we want to make a policy on how we do grants? Because so far it's just been, please do this, we need this because of this, we need an audit trail. You know, it's more been conversational than anything else. We don't have a written policy. Maybe we don't need a written policy. Maybe like, this is what we do is enough. But maybe having it written in place would make it really clear for everyone and would be helpful for council. So my question for you is this something we think we'd like to pursue? And then we look at that. What does it look like?
Have we asked RVE if this is something that most municipalities have? Is it necessary, you know, as our special project manager?
I have not. No.
Okay.
We got off that first list. For
some do, some don't.
Do you recommend we do?
I think it's one of those things that doesn't hurt to have one in place if you want to define the certain types of grants that you're going for and where you're applying for grants. I think it's fine to have.
I think it more defined procedurally. What do we think? Want to do it? Or yeah. Or do you want to think on it?
I'm ambivalent.
All right. Let's think on it and we'll come back in September.
Okay. I would ask the question, are there more important things?
That's what my question is. Yeah, exactly right. I think the more important things we should be
okay.
Addressing.
So I'll write.
It should probably get them like in December.
Maybe later. Right. We'll keep it around so it doesn't disappear and you guys can think about. Okay. All right. Emily?
Hey. So I'm just going to go over briefly the JHC recommendations from their July meeting. So our first was 19 South Chancellor, and the applicant was seeking to a demo permit to demo the garage and a shed outbuilding is what they called it on the application. It was determined that the garage does not have any historic significance or architectural significance, and so a demo permit can be issued. The shed, however, is original to the home, and JHC felt it was most likely the original outhouse, giving it much historical significance, and so they recommended against demo of the ship.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
The outhouse, the ship. in quotes. It's in quotes on the building. The next one is 103 South State Street. And this was a barn property. The very front section of the structure was originally built as a saddlery in the early 1800s. There are some original stone walls and foundations that should be saved during the renovation. However, the current condition, as well as the rest of the building being later additions to the property, plus extensive renovations over many years, allows for JHC to determine that there is not much historic or architectural significance to the structure. They recommended issuing a demo permit. And I misspoke. This is the Old Rose Flower Shop building. I'm confusing it with another property. So that's what they recommended, demo of the past the original structure, all those additions that had the greenhouse and all that. The next one.
Hey, Emily, I've looked through the windows. They've already demolished the interior where the flowers 30 years ago.
That's their business.
I'm just saying, was there nothing left in that space?
And that space isn't being done.
Yeah, you can see the original stone walls.
Right. Okay, the next is 217 East Washington. JHC members believe that the portion of the home being removed is a later addition and it has recently sustained damage from a tree falling during the tornado. So there is no basis to deny the demolition permit. This was one of the properties where a tree fell on our last tornado. And then the last one is 516 East Center Avenue, which is the home that Tony spoke about during public to be heard. And for many of the reasons Tony listed, it was a home built circa 1880, making it one of the oldest houses on the block. They recommended not to shoot. And that would be for Fulton. That's it.
Okay, so then the question is, what, if any, of these said recommendations would council wish to look at next week, right? Is that your next question? No. Oh, okay. All right. Bucks County, do you have anything else for that? Okay, thank you. All right. The Bucks County Real Estate Tax Credit for Volunteer Firefighters. Everybody will have received the letter which was sent to us from the consortium as sample letter to the Board of Commissioners on Act 91, which allows a property tax rebate to volunteer firefighters, and it allowed them up to 20% to volunteer serving in the fire companies and nonprofit emergency medical service agencies. To quote, to date, many municipalities offer a cash incentive to volunteer firefighters, including Warwick, Plumstead, Buckingham, and Warrington Townships, that amount to more than the local portion of real estate tax. So, building upon this act, Act 91 of 2020 expanded the real estate tax credit to 100% and extended this coverage to include school districts and counties. So now the coverage includes counties, not just municipalities. We are being asked to write a letter to the County Board of Commissioners supporting the county enact this property tax rebate for volunteer firefighters. This is something that Budget and Finance has talked about, and I've got the information, but we need to put together something more organized for you guys, for the borough to do, and it's something that I've talked to the township supervisor about doing as a compliment to us. But if we were to pass it, it would be for our real estate, our portion of the real estate tax. The county is much larger, so us encouraging the county to enact this would be a way to help retain volunteer firefighters, and at a minimum, help them feel valued. But I think really it would be a financial, benefit to them. The letter doesn't say this, but given the cost of real estate in the area, I think that is also helpful. So the question is, are we interested in sending one of these letters along with the other members of the consortium to do so, saying that Newtown Borough Council also supports it?
Bob, you got a question?
My question is, so many volunteer firefighters live in the borough.
Because this would apply to volunteer firefighters or property owners only?
This would apply to, it's real estate cap credit, and we're asking, this is for the county. So right. It would feed the county portion of the taxes.
But the firefighter has to be the property owner. Like, we have a couple instances where in the borough there's only two or three, there's a very small number that are right. Property owners, and there's a few that live with parents or something like that.
Right. So wouldn't it impact as many? Yeah, what we were discussing was internally was perhaps pursuing the wage tax rebate with the aspect of it. So this is the residential, you're right. So this would be just property owners.
But it does provide an incentive to become
it. It's something else to become right. Or to remain mm-hmm. active, because I believe there's certain standards they have to maintain. It's for life members as they get older and stop firefighting. I don't think that applies to them anymore. They're certain minimum standards. So it does limit
yes.
Who would be able to
it does
pay
have
this. I don't think the cost impacts are great on the municipality or the county. Obviously, it would be a big benefit to the firefighters themselves, especially now they raise it from 20% to 100%.
Mm-hmm. But if the firefighter was not the owner of the real estate, that benefit could be extended.
Correct.
Right, for the real estate part, correct.
But I mean, this is a national issue, right? Getting and maintaining and keeping to the quality requirements. So I just think it's a step in the right direction.
Without a doubt. Anything we can reasonably do to help support continued involvement of our volunteer firefighters is a good idea. And obviously, there's nothing better than financial incentive to do so. So I don't see why we wouldn't do that. My only question for you is in terms of what level of volunteer service would be required in order to qualify? In other words, I don't know, but if somebody just shows up one day and says they're a volunteer,
yeah,
that's one thing, but obviously I don't think that's the case, but I just wanted to clarify that.
It's on the website. I don't recall off the top of my head because
numbers I've heard bandied about are 20% of the final calls. Of course, to be a firefighter, you have to be a firefighter, want to be well trained. You can't just come in the door and all of a sudden you're an active member. It takes sometimes a year or two to get to that.
Anything substantial is good enough for me.
No, there's definitely a part. So the law was laid out here.
Is there a form letter from the county?
Yeah, that's what was in the sheriff's
office. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. All right. And so we'll move that on to next week for a vote. Marianne?
The vacancies that we have on committees, commissions, and boards include the Civil Service Commission. And we're looking for one member and one alternate, and we have one application received from Joe Lovey. We are looking for a member for the Environmental Advisory Committee, one for Human Relations Commission, one for Joint Historic Commission, one for the Zoning Hearing Board, Parking and Science Ad Hoc, can always use some extra people, and Walk Friendly Standing Committee is looking for two. Any comments or suggestions about any of that?
I was just wondering if either of the two alternates on the Civil Service Commission were approached about taking the vacant seat as they might want to do so.
They have not, but we can start to do that.
Just a question. Uh-huh. Not many of our committees have alternates, so
I can reach out.
So if someone has alternates, are interested in stuff.
That's all.
Okay, thanks. All right, thank you, Marielle.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Do you have any old business?
Question. In a prior meeting, we discussed, Chief, the parking situation is the ice cream service, which I am a customer. But coming around the right-hand turn, Jefferson on the State Street, there are people parking right at the corner. There's also a lot of parents bringing children in and out of vehicles, which you don't see. So is any consideration you give the no parking sign right at the corner between the driveway and
yes. Yeah, I spoke to Scott. Yeah. Scott's been up slowly.
Okay.
Another issue came up with another individual making a similar complaint about sight distance crossing Washington South with a kind of a similar sign there.
Oh, good.
Yeah, that's good.
I just swing my bag of dog stuff in the street so people could see them. Because there was a car parked right at.
Yeah.
No, that is so. I'm a diligent, like, pedestrians and pedestrians sometimes are behind that car, and then I put a little gas.
On Norwood, are you talking about sign on Norwood to State Street?
No, Washington.
No, Washington.
Good.
Because I think the sign, we looked at this previously, that particular sign for stop is a considerable distance from the intersections. While we're looking at that, we may want to move the stop sign closer to the corner so that you stop and then you can have a visual of this, what's going on with a formal stop. Because we have people flying through these intersections. Thank you. That was the first one. The second one, I think we previously discussed putting a time limit on our rural parking only for all the business hours right outside here so that in the evening those would be free spots. So I thought we were going to look at some stickers to put on those signs to say 9 to 5 only or something like that.
Well, the only issue is we have a lot of events here at night and a lot of committees need to come here and find parking.
Okay, so you think it'd be better?
I think we need to leave it the way it is.
Okay.
It's too small.
Yeah,
it's too small. Okay. Yeah, somebody had complained, which is why you brought that up.
Yeah.
And that was the follow-up discussion was the other committees. Yeah.
Okay, well, that's a better solution, I think.
Yeah, if we just...
Plus, somebody can park there if they want to invite.
Well, you can put, except for Saturdays and Sundays, because there's no committee and board meetings on Saturday and Sunday. So, well, we could think on that. Okay. Any announcements? Public speaker. Any public online? All right, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Motion adjourned.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, everyone. Thanks, Michelle.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
No, that's what I said. Oh, okay.